Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land the Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 14th day of June 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll take up the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, update you on all of the agricultural information that came from USDA yesterday as it relates to crop progress. We'll hear state statistician update from Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana. Important to note, I left the topsoil moisture levels in on all of those states. You'll want to pay attention to that as we get through it. And as we talk about the weather forecast and what it really means to the marketplace on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hear what the numbers finished up like in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. July corn up 6.5 cents, $4.36.5 the settlement price. September at 4.41¾, 6¼ higher. In December up 6.5 at 4.46¼. The March corn up 5¾ at 4.51. May up 5¼. July up 4¾. July beans a half higher, $11.69¼. The August down 3 at 11.66. November beans at $11.49¼, 9¾ lower. January down 10¼ at $11.46. And the March contract 10½ lower at $11.05. And the May beans at $10.89¾, down 6½ cents. Bean oil up a penny for the afternoon. And bean meal for the day, 2 cents, or rather 20 cents higher at $4.08.60. Soft red winter wheat in the July down 6¼ at $4.85. September for the afternoon finished the day down 5½ cents at $4.97¾. The hard red July at 4.58½, down 2¼ cents. Live cattle, nearby contracts, 75 cents lower at $118.70. August at 114.40, up a nickel. Feeder cattle, August contract, 141.75, up 70. September at $140.60, up 90 cents. And lean hogs in the June, down 12½ at $81.70. July futures there at $88.87½ per 100 pounds, $2.77½ higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
Well, here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. July crude oil, $48.43 a barrel, down 45 cents. Ethanol futures up 3¾ cents per gallon at $1.73¾. The wholesale price of gasoline, RBOB, at $1.51¼, a penny and 0.8 cents lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.50 even, down a penny and 0.4 cents. Natural gas is a penny and 0.2 cents higher at $2.59¼. Dow Jones Industrial Average now 125 points lower at 17,603 U.S. dollar at 94.399, down 0.162 for the day. And the gold futures at $1,287.90, $3.50 higher on the afternoon. The weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for the afternoon. Scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, a high of 87 degrees, and south wind at 10 to 15. Chance of rainfall throughout the day today, Tuesday, 60%, and then Tuesday evening that'll drop to 50%. We'll have a low of 72 degrees and a southeast wind at 10 to 20 chance of rainfall again tonight at 50%. And they say about 7 to 8 tenths for the day in that coverage and another 2 tenths tonight. Tomorrow, 300s, widely scattered showers, some thunderstorms, then partly cloudy, a high of 93 degrees, and will clear out on Wednesday night and drop to 69. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 14th day of June. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us to talk about what happened in Chicago. Hi, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's an interesting day in Chicago. Grains were higher. Soybeans had quite a trading range, although they ended lower for the afternoon. Corn held on nicely, though.
You know, it was a lot of different stories out there. We started, of course, with the crop ratings being tremendously high for both corn and beans yesterday afternoon. We saw, you know, the forecast of some of these showers to come through and looking at it. And we were down quite hard overnight and come in that way. And we started to inch back up a little bit as the idea that maybe we're not quite far enough along in this weather market to just give up all of our gains right quick here in the corn market. And then the GFS model at noon built back in the high pressure ridge and talking about some warm and sort of drier weather and blocking ridge there into towards the 1st of July, just the opposite of what the European model was basically calling for earlier in the morning when we were down, Todd.
Why such a wide trading range in the soybeans? We were up to what in the July 1176, and I don't know, it was 25 cents or so. 11.52 was the bottom. But we were on either side of the range for a good part of the day.
I think that, you know, basically along the way we went up, we tried to push through to some levels with the beans. You know, we hadn't been taking the corn along. The ratio, corn-bean ratio, was getting a little bit out of whack. And we had some people willing to take some profits on the beans as we go in here. We also have to remember that we're talking about the weather more in the market of the corn now, because corn germination comes a lot before that August time frame that the beans need to settle out and make their yields. So we're looking a lot closer and what the weather is for right now, because beans can handle dry weather here in June and July. It's the August time frame when they need their rain.
Did you get rainfall today?
We did. We got rain about three different times, between 6 and 7 this morning, while we got a, I'm going to call it a sidewalk wetter. Then we got a 2/10 inch rain or so, probably about 9:30. And then closer to noon, we probably picked up another quarter of an inch here. Now, going just north of us a little bit, they got 1 inch and 6/10. And then to the west of us here, they got about 1.5 inches, too. So sort of scattered, but yet some nice rains being picked up, and maybe hope for a little more this evening.
Yeah, farmers, I think, would make, well, they're hopeful that they can continue to get the weather rally. They'd like to get the rainfall as well. Anything that they should be considering at this point as it's related to new crop sales?
Well, I think, you know, we had one of the advisory firms today come in and sold another 10%, I think taking them to 40% cash sold in the corn futures market. And then a lot of the guys put stops under the day's lows as to maybe stop into some positions. And I think, you know, if you want to be in the futures or doing the hedge to arrives, well, you can do a stop underneath the lows of the day to sort of protect yourself. But I think we're going to be a little bit slow in doing some more sales here until we get a little more weather down the road.
Farmers are sometimes reticent to get too far sold up this early in the crop season, really have no idea what they've got for harvest at this point and won't for some time. Is 40% too far along?
40% is probably okay. Going much over 50% before the 4th of July, you're sticking your neck out a little bit.
All right. Anything that we need to talk about otherwise for the afternoon?
Well, I think, you know, the cattle seem to make a nice recovery after yesterday's disaster. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a little bit overdone, and the cash cattle market is a lot stronger than what the futures have been, and I think it was just making up a little bit for that.
Always good to talk with you. Have a great afternoon.
You too, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Three quick items in today's agricultural news. First is GMO labeling. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Pat Roberts and Ranking Member Debbie Stabenow are still trying to find common ground on the legislation. The debate continues as time dwindles ahead of the July 1st implementation date of the Vermont GMO labeling mandate. Robert said progress was made last week, but several issues remain unresolved. One remaining argument, according to those familiar with the ongoing negotiations, is over what to do about processed foods that contain both meat and genetically modified crops like corn, soybeans, and sugar from sugar beets. Foods in that category include products like pepperoni pizza. The livestock industry is pushing for such items to be exempt from labeling requirements, based on what appears to be an agreement that meat and dairy products from animals fed GMOs should be exempt. Well, Monsanto has rejected a second attempt by Bayer Ag to purchase Monsanto. The Wall Street Journal reports a second offer that did not offer more money requested detailed business information known as due diligence, which Bayer said could lead to a higher offer. Monsanto saw the offer as little change compared to the $62 billion proposal Bayer offered earlier. Monsanto is refusing to grant such access until Bayer raises its bid. And finally, stockholders for Dow Chemical and DuPont will hold separate shareholder meetings next week to vote on the proposed merger between the two companies. Both meetings will be held July the 20th. DuPont's meeting will take place at its Wilmington, Delaware headquarters, and Dow Chemical's meeting will be at its Midland, Michigan offices. The two companies announced a merger in December worth more than $120 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday of this week, winter wheat around the nation had been 11% harvested. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 18%. In Kansas, they're well behind, 5% harvested this year. Last year, and the rolling five-year average is about 15%. The condition of the crop is set to be 49% good, 12% excellent. That's one percentage point worse than it was the previous week, but by comparison to last year, which was 35-8 in those two categories respectively, doing very well. Corn crop around the nation is now said to be in 60% good to 15% excellent condition. Combined, that's 75%, same as last week. However, those numbers were 61-14 last week in the two categories, so in slightly better condition this week than it was last week. Last year, the numbers were 59-14. Around the nation, 92% of the soybean crop has been planted. 87% is the rolling five-year average. 79% of the bean crop is up. 72% the rolling five-year average. It's said to be in 74% good to excellent condition. Divided out, that's 62% good and 12% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 62-10. Last year, they were 56-11. Now here are updates from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region, with the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. Sunny and hot temperatures spurred growth and fieldwork progress during the week ending June 12, 2016. Activities for the week included cutting and baling hay, spraying herbicides, and side dressing corn with nitrogen. Due to the spotty nature of recent rains, many parts of the state would welcome rain while other areas have adequate moisture. Top soil moisture levels were rated 12% short, 82% adequate, and 6% surplus. Virtually all of Iowa's corn crop has emerged. 80% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Soybean planting reached 98% complete. That's 2 weeks ahead of last year and 13 days ahead of the five-year average. Soybean emergence reached 91%, 10 days ahead of both last year and the average. Soybean condition was rated with 81% good to excellent. That's the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 12, 2016. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Warm and dry weather dominated the state last week. Temperatures ranged from 1 to 4 degrees above normal, and the average rainfall was only 14/100ths of an inch, more than 3/4 of an inch below normal. Topsoil moisture declined and is now rated 1% very short, 17 short, 75 adequate, and 7% surplus. Growing degree days accumulated since May 1st are slightly above normal in northern parts of the state, but slightly below normal in southern areas. Winter wheat harvest began last week and is now 1% complete, the same as 1 year ago and behind the five-year average of 12%. The condition of the crop is rated as 11% in very poor to poor condition, 31% fair, and 58% good to excellent. Soybean planting reached 90% complete, 1 point ahead of last year and right on the average. 78% of the crop has emerged, which is 1 point behind normal. The soybean crop's condition is now rated 4% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 75% good to excellent. 97% of corn acres have emerged, compared to 99% 1 year ago and 97% normally. The condition of the crop is now rated 5% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 75% good to excellent. In other crops, sorghum planting is now 50% complete. Oats are 66% headed. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 86% finished. The second cutting is 3% complete, and 78% of other hay has been harvested. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Nearly one-fifth of the first cutting of alfalfa hay was harvested during the 4.7 days rated suitable for field work during the week. That progress was over a week ahead of the five-year average. Other field activities for the week included haying, spraying, and side dressing nitrogen. Topsoil moisture supplies are rated 1% very short, 7% short, 78% adequate, and 14% surplus. Minnesota's corn condition rated 78% good to excellent. That's up 1 percentage point from the previous week. With 96% of the soybean crop emerged, soybean condition rated 77% good to excellent, and that was up from 74% a week ago. 12% of the spring wheat acreage was at or beyond the heading stage. That's 3 days ahead of the five-year average and 5 days ahead of last year. Spring wheat condition was rated 68% good to excellent, and that was down 6 percentage points from last week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Shanice Pressbury with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Crops are showing signs of stress due to lack of rain. The statewide average temperature for the week was 70.9 degrees, 1.3 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 2.21 inches, with a statewide average of 0.26 inches. Corn emerged was 91% complete, compared to 96% last year and 93% five-year average. Corn planting and replanting have overall reached completion. Later planted crops are showing signs of struggle without enough moisture to germinate. Some corn crop is showing signs of drought, but reported as in 73% good to excellent condition. Farmers continued side dressing and spraying herbicide. Winter wheat mature was 33% complete this week. Some wheat was harvested as forage due to poor quality. Soybeans were 91% planted this week compared to 92% last year and 90% five-year average. Soybeans were 76% emerged compared to 79% last year and 77% five-year average. Some replanting took place due to an uneven emergence. Some are concerned that the drying soy will lead to reduced germination in recently planted soybeans. The already emerged plants are 75% in good to excellent condition. Some wheat in poor condition was terminated and planted to soybeans. Other activities this week included preparing equipment for wheat harvest and baling straw, transplanting tomatoes, applying fertilizer, spraying herbicides, hauling grain, certifying crops with FSA, and roadside mowing. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 12, 2016. This is Janice Pressbury reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest and the Corn Belt. We always bring them to you each and every Tuesday. Now, let's check what's been happening with the agricultural energy. Stephen Platt is on the phone line from Chicago and Archer Financial Services. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon.
Let's talk a little bit about agricultural energies and where we stand at this point. We always try to start maybe with crude oil because it's the basis of everything. Trading $48, it's been above 50 bucks. Where do we stand now, and where do you think it's headed?
We've seen, you see so much on the petroleum complex. You almost think it's been just a real wild market, but surprisingly, it really has not been. We've been holding to a pretty tight trading range. The market did get up in crude to as high as 51.60 on the July contract. It's currently trading at 48.75 since we last talked. And the gasoline is pretty much unchanged from where it was on the July contract at that time as well. So the market has not really changed dramatically. What has changed is people's attitudes. I think there was a general skepticism that this market could rally as high as it did, and I was in that camp and still am, thinking that there are some limits to how high this market can go. We did have a lot of bullish news coming in with respect to the outages in Canada. Nigeria now is in the news in terms of rebel attacks, and also Libya continued to be a problem child. The Iranian supplies have not come in as much as expected, and I think that is has been also a supportive influence for the market. We did now today actually get some reports from the International Energy Agency, or IEA. They did indicate that the situation is going to be pretty well balanced as we move into the end of this year. And I would have to agree with those numbers. The demand side has come in stronger than expected, and some of these production setbacks have generally kept the market on edge. However, as we move back into 2017 and maybe some of these production disruptions actually come back on, I think we'll start to see the market maybe anticipate that and maybe lead to some softness. But once again, in terms of the market, it looks like we're into a consolidation phase, and the market is finally adjusting to some of the low prices we've seen in terms of lower production in some of the U.S. areas.
Ethanol usage has been good, according to EIA. Will that continue? And I've got maybe 30 seconds or so.
I would suspect so, that the market still sees the benefits. But on the other hand, you are going to see, I think, in terms of gasoline demand, some weakness in prices as we move out of the summer and into the fall when demand does start to fall.
Thanks so much, Stephen.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon, the 14th day of June. When we come back, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
It's National Strawberry Shortcake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1834, Cyrus Hall McCormick patented his reaping machine. In 1854, Towned Glover was commissioned as the first U.S. federal entomologist. He was selected as a, quote, expert for collecting statistics and other information on seeds, fruits, and insects in the United States. His first report was printed that same year. In 1884, New York became the first state to pass laws requiring the bearing of utility wires in any incorporated city over 500,000 people. In 1938, Dr. Benjamin Gruskin received a patent for chlorophyll as a therapeutic agent for use in treatment of infection of the bloodstream and for open cuts and wounds. In 1972, the Environmental Protection Agency banned DDT in the U.S. And in 1988, peanut butter sandwiches saved the day. Students in a school were kept in an extra 45 minutes by a 6-foot black bear that had wandered onto the playground. They kept it at bay by tossing out peanut butter sandwiches until the game warden arrived to take the bear away. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks for taking the time today, Don.
Thank you.
Well, tell me about the weather forecast. It's been a difficult one, I think, starting last week, trying to figure out how much rain, where, if, other than it was going to be warm and sure is hot. So what do you see now?
Well, we're faced with a forecast that really doesn't look that much different in terms of the difficulty of pinpointing where the rain chances are the best, because we continue to see off and on periods of shower and thunderstorm activity over the next coming week or two. But there isn't one storm that we can latch on that says, well, everyone's going to get rain. But we are going to see these systems come through about every 2 or 3 days, producing a spattering of scattered shower and thunderstorm activity. This is going to be especially true early to mid-next week, where I think the best chances for a wider spread rain, more consistent rain, will take place across the Corn Belt. Between now and early next week, it's going to be kind of off and on, spotty, hard to pinpoint. Now, temperatures are still going to be warm. I don't see any record-breaking heat, but we are going to be looking at temperatures a little bit above average over the next week or so.
Am I right that the north or northwestern part of the Corn Belt this week will get the bulk of the rainfall?
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. Certainly, the last couple of days, we've seen some pretty significant rains in the Dakotas, across portions of Nebraska. Some of that did get into Minnesota and western areas of Iowa, and those areas are going to fare the best with the rain. The further east you go, there's rain chances, but it's a roll of the dice on who gets it and who doesn't.
And how hot during the day?
Well, we're going to be looking at 80s and 90s, warmer nights as well. Nothing excessively hot. The hottest temperatures are still going to be bottled up over the desert southwest, where we could see some record heat in the Arizona, Southern California, part of the U.S. We'll be watching that hot weather there and whether or not it's going to make a move to the north and east of the Corn Belt. While it will be warm, though, we don't see that real extreme heat getting in.
It doesn't sound terribly unusual for the month of June, other than it's a bit warmer than normal.
Yeah, really, this is an average Joe-type June so far. Nothing sticks out too much, especially across the nation's midsection. And as you said, it's summer. We expect these periods of hot weather. We're very close to the longest day of the year, to where it's really easy to have some warm weather.
No, before we get to the rest of the planet, and we will, it's kind of fun. The longest day of the year, June 21st, is coming up, and that will shift us full-time into summer. So what do you see for the rest of the planet then?
Well, first of all, let's go over into Europe, where they've had a real yo-yo type of early summer season so far, alternating between colder and wet and warmer and dry. And right now, Western Europe going through another cool and wet phase. This does extend into some of the western areas of the wheat belt of the Ukraine and even some portions of the former Soviet Union.
But overall, Europe is in pretty good shape, other than a little bit cool in those western areas. But we don't have a hot, dry signature anywhere in either Western Europe or Eastern Europe.
Hey, thanks, Don. Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather. He's out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. Find us online at WILLAG.org.